When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast, and thanks so much for joining us again. Today, I'm doing something a little bit different, and I'm going to share with you a recent webinar that I did on something that I call Still Point Scalar Repatterning. And this is something I'm really excited about because it essentially shows you how you can leverage the power of scalar fields to be able to connect back to that original source blueprint, that coherent place that is really where your innate healing capacity exists from and starts, and allow that to diffuse through your biofield, affecting your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of who you are. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, but I go through all of the details in that in the webinar that you're going to listen to just after. And one thing that I'm going to start doing as well is that we're going to be running a 30-day mini study on this so I can see what kind of changes are actually possible. What I've seen so far is some pretty amazing stuff, and I want to really start to actually research this to see what we can make possible. So if this appeals to you, once you get through the webinar, just go to inspirelife.earth, where you can go up to the top and you'll see the little link where you can sign up for the 30-day Still Point Scalar Repatterning study. So just plug your info there, and then we will get a hold of you when we are about to start that. We will likely begin that within the next week. So if it is something that you're interested in, make sure to jump on it so you are on the list. All right, everybody, I am really excited to see where this can go. And I hope you guys enjoy this webinar. And this really is about putting you back in the driver's seat of your own health and connecting back to that part of you that really knows what needs to happen. We need to bring more of ourselves back into this world. And I feel like we are bombarded by so much incoherence. And we need to get back to that inner place of coherence so that that can start to inform us in our lives. And then see what can start to take place and what's possible. All right, everybody. I look forward to seeing you on the study if you're going to join me, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. So I'd like to pose a question to you all to contemplate, not only as I'm going through this lecture, but even after, periodically come back to this. What if healing doesn't require more effort, just more coherence? What does that even mean? Think about that for a moment. And what if we even extrapolated, what if life doesn't require more effort, just more coherence? And I'm deliberately making a little pause there because it's in the pause that we actually find our coherence, which you're going to find as we go through this lecture. Now, coherence runs through our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. And when we are in coherence, that's what actually opens the door for our natural intelligence to start to emit itself. And that's what we need to connect back to. Coherence allows your body's innate intelligence to operate without interference. If we could see our biofield in all the different colors and forms, we would see so many layers of incoherence in that. And what happens is that incoherence is then informing us. We don't even know it, but we are living our lives through these layers of incoherence in our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies. The more that we can bring back in coherence in this body's innate intelligence, it can repattern the whole field. And it starts to inform everything differently. And, you know, to me, when we talk about this magic pill that's so elusive that we're trying to find, that's what the magic pill is. So let's take a look at healing. You know, traditionally, healing has all been around fixing symptoms. You know, it's making things happen. It's pushing hard. Conventional medicine is very much like this. You know, you have to do strong interventions to try and make something happen. And from a Chinese medicine perspective, this is really a very yang approach to health and wellness. It's like this male sort of energy that is a bit more aggressive and it wants to make things happen. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that is very important and we need that. But what I've generally found over the years is that at a certain point for really deep healing to take place, it's a yin process. And what I mean by that is it's more around letting go. There's a surrender involved in it. There's allowing yourself to connect to something that is going to inform you that is far greater than your conditioned mind. Most of the time when we are trying to figure out what we can do to heal ourselves, we're still operating in limitation. For the most part, all we know what to do is what our past has explained to us. And at a certain point, we have to move and connect to something that is much deeper than that. You know, in naturopathic medicine, we call this the vis medicatrix naturae, that natural healing force. In osteopathy, we sometimes call it the inner physician. When we connect to that, that knows what is best for you specifically. And it will provide you the insights on what's necessary to actually move forward and to heal. And that's what we're wanting to connect to. So we don't heal by force, we heal by frequency. And when we look at the graphic up here, chaos is incoherence. Coherence is when everything starts to move smoothly and we move into alignment. And if you take a pause for a moment and just kind of think, where in my life is there levels of incoherence? Where am I not operating from a place of coherence? And I don't mean that as a judgment. I just mean this is typical. And you're going to see as we go along here what kind of layers of incoherence we're dealing with. But coherence is much more powerful. And we're going to discuss that as we go along here too. So I'm going to break down these different pieces of this still point scalar repatterning so that you kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about and why this is so important. So stillness, why stillness? Well, let me just share with you some of the benefits that have been researched just around stillness. Stillness and silence. Stillness itself can lower heart rate and blood pressure, can reduce stress and cortisol levels, promotes hippocampal neurogenesis. That means that it helps you think better, helps your memory. How many people now are having issues with their memory? Enhances relaxation and mood, improves sleep quality, boosts focus and cognitive clarity, supports emotional processing, balances the autonomic nervous system, increases creativity, and improves sensory awareness. That is all from doing nothing, literally from stillness and silence. So do nothing and say nothing, and you get all of these benefits. Like, it's huge. What we are wanting to be able to do is actually amplify this effect and spread this throughout the whole body. And it goes well beyond this, but these are some of the big ones. By doing nothing and saying nothing. This first one lowers heart rate and blood pressure. That was actually done from a study they did back in 2006 where they were looking at the benefits of music therapy and relaxation music on the nervous system. And they actually found that 2 minutes of stillness and silence was significantly more beneficial than the relaxing music was. But what's interesting is this is so powerful, yet I would say arriving at a place of stillness is probably one of the most uncomfortable things for a lot of people to actually do. I don't know how many people out there, how many people have a stillness practice, whether they have a prayer practice or whether they have a meditation practice. And this is not any of those things necessarily, but if you do some of that stuff, you're tapping into it to some point. So I'd like to just throw into the chat, just mention, I just want to see how many people actually have had some kind of practice with even slow stillness, even short periods of that. And Alex, just let me know if anybody's responding there.
Yep, 3 hours a day.
Wow.
Prayer.
That is some deep stillness if you're doing 3 hours a day. And probably not, they must not have children. So, which actually is kind of neat because at certain periods of your life, it's harder to create stillness. And we live in a world that actually does not recognize stillness as being important. If anything, it's productivity and movement, and people actually even feel guilty when they have time of doing nothing. So this is a really big shift in how we even need to perceive our lives and what's valuable. So in osteopathy, we talk about the still point. And I'm not sure if people are familiar with that. And I'm not talking sort of medical osteopathy where you mostly prescribe medications, but in classical osteopathy, which is a very manual, hands-on approach where we dialogue with the patient's body. And you dialogue with many different systems. So you can dialogue with the cranial sacral system, with the fascial system, with the visceral system, with the fluids, with the electromagnetic system, all of these things you can kind of have a dialogue with. And what a still point is, it's where the practitioner has their hands on an area. And what it literally feels like is you are finding this sort of center point, and you're gently fine-tuning parameters of like flexion, extension, side bending, rotation, etc., until the body eventually just falls into this deep stillness. And it's very palpable. When you do it, the practitioner goes into a still point the same time that the patient often goes into a still point. You actually feel it in the whole room. There's like this very still quiet, like you almost picture this serene lake with complete stillness in the moonlight. It literally feels like that. And what happens is we talk about it being like this pregnant pause. It's full of potential. So this quietness happens. And what happens in that silence is that the body reaccesses its original healing blueprint. This is that vis medicatrix naturae that we talk about. And it's that that guides all self-organization and regeneration. And this blueprint isn't an idea. It's an energetic template encoded in the field that the body remembers and then reorganizes around. And what it feels like in the hands is you will hold it. Everything goes very quiet and still. And then all of a sudden, and you stay in that for a while. And literally what happens is the cranial sacral system actually, there's a cessation, it stops. Everything just kind of slows right down and then stops, and there's a pause. And then you stay in that pause for a while, and then all of a sudden you get this big wave just comes into your hands, and that's the return of this vis medicatrix naturae, that healing potent energy. And it causes all of the changes that start to take place on the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual pieces of our body. And so this stillness minimizes the noise in our biofield. That's the layers of incoherence. It's like this wave of coherence floods through the biofield and gives us a new set point. It clears everything back out, which makes it easier for the local field to hold a stable, coherent signal again. Now, it doesn't mean that you go back into the world and you get back into incoherence, because we live in a very incoherent world right now. But we can do this as a set point and change it and get the benefits of it. And the more that we're able to start to do this, the more we will start to live our lives in more coherence despite what is going on around us. So in the stillness, the field reorganizes. And stillness is not the absence of motion, it's the return to intelligent order. And this has been talked about for a long time. You know, we talk about these quotes from like the Yoga Sutras with Patanjali. You know, within you, there is a place of stillness and rest, and in that place, you are whole. Eckhart Tolle says, stillness is where creativity and solutions to problems are found. That's really important, because how many things go on in our lives whether it's health, whether it's relationships, whether it's work stress, whatever it might be, do we keep running into the same problems over and over again? We need to find a new source of information that can inform us so that we can find our solutions individually. Why I think this is so important is because it's not a one size fits all. You're connecting back to your innate intelligence. And it's through that place that you are going to get new insights based on your life, where you live, what's accessible to you, who's accessible to you. You will get your own insights that will start to navigate your life in a direction that will be more coherent. When it's more coherent, everything starts to benefit. Now, for me, when I was doing these osteopathic still points with patients, what I started to do when I incorporated the biomodulator and the transducer is I would often have the biomodulator hooked up, running usually in an infinity program, and I would have that on an area of the body, particularly if I found a certain circuit was out of balance, so like say the liver meridian was out, I would have that directly over the viscera of that area around the liver, running a certain frequency through it while I was doing osteopathic work. And so for me, what I found was that this blending of having the transducer running and the biomodulator, which creates a powerful scalar field, amplified the effects of the still point. It actually happened faster. It was more profound. I found faster integration for the patients. And so this is what really got me thinking about scalar fields and how that integrates with this stillness. And so this part I find really fascinating. And I think this is so exciting because this explains how so many things work and how we have the power to influence it.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This fall in love with cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
So let me first explain the difference between scalar potential and scalar fields. So scalar potential is the raw medium. This is like the zero point background field that is everywhere. It's omnipresent, it's non-directional, and by itself there's no form or pattern. It's 100% pure potential energy. Anything can happen. Think of it like a blank canvas. You know, it's there. You could create anything on that blank canvas if you have the right artist with the brush with the right information to do it. So the artist and the brush is kind of like when you structure the scalar field. You're turning it into something more usable, something that now we can use. And what really structures it is the information that goes into it. So there's a combination. You have to kind of create the structured field, and there's a certain science to that, incorporating things like Tesla coils and whatnot, which you can do through technology like the transducer. But essentially, we structure the field when we pattern it and encode it with information. And that's what makes it usable. Now, the catch is that we can structure that with coherent information or incoherent information. If it's structured with coherent information, it's going to be beneficial. It's life-affirming. It's harmonizing patterns. So we can do that with things like heart coherence, meditation, sacred geometry, intentional healing work, and beneficial technologies like the transducer that are designed to create powerful scalar standing waves that we can sort of bathe in and inform the field from. Incoherence can also happen. And I think everybody knows what that feels like. You know, it's when you're in chaotic patterns, it's fragmented, they create harmful, they create cellular dissonance. This is when you are in emotional distress or environmental toxicity or excess electromagnetic pollution. There's a lot of things in the world right now that are creating incoherence in our field. And I honestly feel like this is a big reason for the mass amounts of illness and problems that we see on this world. And so once we have structured the scalar field with information, that scalar field now broadcasts and amplifies this information, both within our own biofield as well as into the environment around us. And so it's why coherent group intention feels uplifting and why incoherent environments can feel draining. I'll give you an example of where you can, where everybody has probably had an experience of this. Say you're on the subway and you're sitting there and it's maybe in the evening and, you know, a dodgy character pops onto the subway. You can feel the shift in the air throughout the entire subway car very quickly. There's a feeling of apprehension or a fearfulness or something along those lines. And the catch is that we can entrain to coherence or incoherence. We basically are going to entrain to anything that is already in our biofield. And chances are all of us have some aspects of fear or anxiety or whatnot in our field. And so if we become in contact with that, we can actually entrain to that. Now, on the opposite side, the same thing is if you're in an environment where you are with someone that's incredibly nurturing and loving, maybe this could be like a grandparent. You know, for me, it was like my grandma. I remember I would go see my grandma. She just held this completely unconditionally loving environment. And I would go there and just everything felt so much better. It felt manageable. It felt a lot easier. I would actually then start to think of solutions to things. So whether that's a loving caretaker like that, or maybe a health practitioner, or an environment that you go to that you just feel that loving presence, that's a coherent environment. And you will then entrain to that. So we can go back and forth with this. Some of the key things around scalar fields, they don't just store information, they resonate and replicate it through the system that they interact with. So again, if it's beneficial patterns and coherence, that's going to resonate through the biofield. You're going to get things like supporting the nervous system regulation, enhancing cellular communication, and we create this morphogenic template that others can entrain to. So that's the work by Rupert Sheldrake, and he talked about these morphogenic fields that kind of exist outside and before our physiology. It's like the blueprint for the body. And so if there are distortions in that blueprint, then that is going to influence the cellular physiology. So think of it like if you're building a structure, if there's a faulty blueprint, you're going to keep rebuilding faulty structures until that blueprint changes. Now you've got a new template that you can create the physical body with. If it's detrimental patterns, you're going to create dissonance in the biofield, disrupt physiological and emotional balance, spread energetic noise into the shared field. So you'll also see this. I see this at home easy. If I am in more of an incoherent place, my kids will pick up on it like that. They're actually the fastest mirror for people that have kids. If you've got kids, if you are not in a regulated place, your kids will pick up on it and send it right back to you, which usually just amplifies the whole thing. But the more that you can pick up on that, we actually have the power to change that around. And you can actually then create coherence, and you'll actually see that spread throughout the environment. So everybody is probably familiar with this. If we are in a place of chaos, just stresses and toxicity and EMF and negative future fantasy spirals of mental thinking and emotions, you know, we're over on this side of the screen, but we can get ourselves back into a coherence where we can repattern all of that. So is a device necessary? As I said, this event is for everybody. And the reality is that no, devices are not strictly necessary to create healing, coherence, or group field effects. We've seen that. You can do group healing in many ways. And we ourselves, through intention, through breath work, through different exercises, we can create a very powerful structured scalar field. And we often do. Where I feel like the devices are helpful for people is that they in themselves do create a powerful scalar field. So if you've got one, you're getting a big jump start and you can facilitate the whole process, because the reality is that it's hard for us to stay in coherence if we are feeling depleted, if we're in pain, if we are stressed. Okay, all of these things make it difficult to stay in a place of coherence. If people are EMF sensitive, which even if you're not EMF sensitive, I guarantee you EMF absolutely causes distortions in the field. And a lot of people are feeling the effects of that. A lot of animals are feeling the effects of that too. So if the system is depleted or disorganized, if a person has difficulty accessing coherence on their own, when you want to accelerate or stabilize transformation, it can be very helpful. If you want to create a more stable and coherent field in both individual and group settings, again, it can be a very good support. I feel like a lot of these technologies, like the biomodulator and the transducer specifically, are these really brilliant bridging technologies, because I do feel like our bodies are capable of doing all of this very elegantly on its own. But I feel like we are up against a lot of stuff that's making it difficult to access it. And so I think of these as very powerful bridging technologies that can help us create the environment and entrain to it, so we start to remember how to do it on our own again. So the transducer, it helps to structure that scalar potential that is everywhere, and it helps to focus it into a localized, usable field that we can now pack more information in. It also has beneficial frequencies that are coherent that run through that field as well. Okay, so where are we currently? So let me pose this as a question, everybody, and just throw an answer into the chat. If we were to look at the percentage-wise of how much information in our environment that we are being exposed to, do you think is coherent information? So what percentage do you think is coherent? Throw that into the chat, versus what percentage do you think is incoherent? And then just throw out some of the responses you get, Alex. I'm just curious to see where people think we are right now.
Ooh, not much coherence out there. Jason, not much coherence. 10, 5, 2, 20, 5. Oh, one says 50-50. One says negative 20 for the coherence. So that's probably the closest guess so far, I'd say.
All right, good, good. Well, I would say you guys are on the right track. It's estimated that when we look at all the things that kind of create incoherence, if you look at things like mass amounts of electromagnetic frequencies, Dr. Ibrahim Karim, a biogeometer, has done some really amazing research looking at electromagnetic frequencies and its effect, and how we can mitigate that using scalar fields, essentially. Biogeometry creates certain scalar fields. Geometry can create certain scalar fields. It's information into the field. But when we look at the amount of electromagnetic frequencies, toxicity, because you got to remember too, something that a lot of times people don't talk about is water. Water is incredibly important. And in our bodies, that is one of the main ways that we move frequency through our body. So if we can't create structure within our water, it's very difficult to create, to move that frequency through our body. We need to be able to structure. Electromagnetic frequencies, toxicity, all destructure water. So we also drink dead water. So that's a big role. Even in these processes, before you do this stuff, I would be very well hydrated. Even before I use the transducer or biomodulator with people or do any of the other work, even osteopathy, get hydrated. The more hydrated you are, especially if it is with good quality, clean, purified, structured water, you will be able to transmit the signal throughout your body much more effectively. You know, it's kind of like we need to be these plump, juicy grapes, and most people are raisins. EMF has an incredibly strong dehydrating effect cellularly on water. So 80 to 90% of incoherent information versus about 10 to 20% of coherent information. When you look at intention, inner stillness, scalar energy, these types of things. So, I mean, that alone doesn't sound very promising. But I think what is really important to remember is that we are incredibly powerful. And there is a tendency towards order. Coherence is in general, coherent fields are much more powerful because they're more efficient. There's a tendency towards order. The body wants to be in coherence. Its natural state is coherence. Its natural state is not incoherence. Incoherence by nature is self-destructive. The incoherent fields actually cancel each other out. So you actually have to pump a lot more incoherence into a system to maintain it being incoherent. Whereas coherence, if you have strong sources of coherence, you can create massive changes in yourself and in the environment around you. Dr. David Hawkins used to talk about this in consciousness research. He would show that individuals of exceptionally high consciousness that would calibrate in the levels of unconditional love or peace would have a ripple effect that would influence often millions of other people and raise the level of the whole sea. So all of that is very possible. I remember interviewing Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. She had a massive YouTube video that was on her stroke of insight. She was a neuroscientist who ended up with a stroke and then is sharing her experience of what it was like being this neuroscientist of kind of going in and out of her right and left brain, basically. Really brilliant episode. It was one of the major TED Talks that came out years back. I was talking to her and we were talking about this, and this ties into incoherence in some ways, because you need to keep bringing incoherence into your system for it to stay in incoherence. And I'll give you an example of how many of us do this on a regular basis without realizing that we're doing it. When we get caught up in negative future fantasy spiral thinking, right? We are creating ourselves an incoherence. So if we get caught up in fear thinking and whatnot, we will keep that cycle going. And in my conversation with Dr. Jill, she said, you know, the neurochemistry of emotions, how long it takes for it to literally metabolize and break down is about 90 seconds to 2 minutes. That is it. So if you are feeling a strong sense of anger or fear or something along those lines, if you did nothing with it, almost held it like a hot ember, it would burn itself out within 90 seconds to 2 minutes. That's the neurophysiology, but we don't do that. When we get triggered, what does it do? When we get a strong sense of fear in our bodies, it creates a ton of ripple effect of our thinking. We then just go down the spiral and we keep it going. So we actually keep recreating the neurochemistry that causes illness over and over and over again. And until we break that cycle, we bring more coherence into it, we change the field, we actually change the way we feel, and then we can change the way that we even think.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, what are some of the ways that we can amplify this coherent field? Well, one of it is by having multiple coherent sources. This is group coherence. So, when we get people coming together in a scalar infused coherence, their individual biofields merge. This creates a much bigger and more powerful unified morphic field that has more ability and more capability than ours individually. You know, we are definitely stronger together when we are in sync. We can reorganize health more, memory, emotion, and energy at a very deep level. The field can become more powerful when we use powerful high coherence generators using technologies like transducer, when our mental and emotional states are in a more uplifted, higher consciousness state. As a group, if we have a clear, unified intention, remember the scalar field is literally like a carrier field of information. So if we have a fairly focused intention, and I say focused not by meaning like repeated over and over and over, like a really young approach to it, but lightly put that into the field and then let it go. Let it do what it's going to do. But if everybody has a unified intention, that could be, say, to just connect to our own natural healing ability. Something simple and open without getting too intellectual around trying to narrow it down to what you think is going to be the best thing for you at this point in time, right? Which we all have a tendency to do. But that can be helpful. The length of time and the frequency of sessions can also amplify it. And being in an environment of nature. Nature is the natural coherent place. And we noticed that. I mean, there was a book called Your Brain on Nature, and it breaks down all the benefits of just time in nature. It's huge, huge. So a strong coherent field can outweigh large amounts of incoherence. So this is, again, why I think this type of work is so incredibly important to do. We can mitigate mass amounts of incoherence personally and also collectively. So what actually is going on that can restore health? Well, these are some of the things that I think are actually happening. When we are moving into this coherent field, you get cell reorganization, cells entrained to the coherent field, supporting, optimizing gene expression, protein folding, and repair processes. Field clearing, distortions and incoherent patterns can be overwritten by the coherent scalar information, leading to energetic detox. You literally are going to cleanse the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual aspects of your biofield. Restored biofield integrity. So a strong, coherent field stabilizes the biofield, reduces vulnerability to external stressors, and restoring regulatory capacity. This means you're going to get more resilience. So if you are able to restore your biofield, when you go back out into the environment, you will be able to handle more. How many people feel like they are at their threshold a lot of times throughout the day, where, you know, one more thing is just too much? A lot of people, I feel like, are right there at their buffer point. There's very little. And most people are actually already over their capacity, and they're constantly just in a systems of stress and inflammation. And we need to be able to back out of that and not only just get under it, but create much more buffer so that we can actually interact with our world around us and people around us in a much more coherent way. Increase systemic coherence. So coherence relates with nervous system functioning. It starts to balance our autonomic nervous system, which supports immune system, hormonal axis. These resynchronize and enhance resilience and adaptability. And consciousness realignment. This is, I think, really important too. We even did a whole series on trauma, talking to many experts around trauma and working with trauma. And you can watch that for free if you go to inspirehealthpodcast.com. Just go to series and you'll see a whole section. You'll see a bunch of the different series that we've run. Trauma, well, recovery was one of them. There's a lot of work in trauma. And sometimes I think we actually just have a hard time getting out of traumatic patterns that have gone on in the body. And these sit there like these anchors, right, and really create distortion. And anybody that's used the biomodulating transducer knows when we're testing, you'll see, you can test these. You'll see them through muscle testing. You'll see them through using the pendulum. You'll see where your polarity is reversed. And a lot of times that has to do with emotions that are there. I would say 9 times out of 10, there's an emotion that's tied with that. When we repattern the field, it's literally like putting this wave of coherence, of strong coherence that ripples throughout. And there's a period of time where you are then in coherence. Those patterns that were no longer serving you actually dissolve. They're actually gone. They dissolve in the coherent still point. Now, most of the time what happens is we have a hard time letting them go because we are so creatures of habit. We actually start looking for them again. How many people have actually done something where their pain went away, gone, but they couldn't quite believe it, so they keep kind of going back in and checking to see if it's still there? It's like a sore shoulder. It's like, I don't know. Like, and you keep moving, and eventually you find it again, you know, because we bring it back into our field. So if we are doing this type of process, I think we keep clearing the field. And in doing that, we're then reinforming it from this innate intelligence, and then we can actually operate differently. This is where real change starts to take place. So when your biofield is in a place of chaos, it's hard to heal. It's overwhelming. It's hard to deal with what goes on in our world. When we start to move over to a place of coherence, our biofield repatterns with that new information. That healing intelligence spreads throughout the entire biofield. So this is still point scalar repatterning is basically a blending of these concepts. It's a blending of reaching a place of stillness on your own. So rather than a practitioner creating a still point in you, you actually can create your own still point. very, very effectively. And I would even say, in many ways, I think it's even more powerful because you're doing it through your own agency. You're an active participant in it. You're not just sitting back and letting it happen to you. I think in that process, a lot of power goes back into the system. So still point scalar repatterning works by accessing the body's original healing intelligence through deep stillness, and then structuring a coherent scalar field so that that intelligence can be transmitted and trained and reorganized through the entire biofield. So without stillness, there's no access, and without structure, the scalar waves, there's no integration. These two things have to happen together. And together, I believe that they unlock true repatterning. So I think of it as still point being the doorway or the portal, and the scalar field being the pathway that allows it to move. And so we first have to, the healing impulse must first be remembered. That's where the stillness allows us to connect back to it. And I don't mean it necessarily pops up like a mental remembering. It doesn't have to. But the stillness allows us to get connect back to that innate intelligence. And then from there, we transmit that through the field. So there's five key steps involved. And what I would like to go through with people today is the first two. We'll do a very brief one just so you can kind of get a bit of a feel for it. And then I'll just mention the other ones. And then I will invite you to check out a 30-day study that I would like to do that very well could be part of my thesis work, where I want to see what kind of changes are possible and what can take place with people if we are doing this on a regular basis and we are meeting for group coherent sessions together. So let me just briefly go over this. The first step is to create internal coherence. And some of you may be very familiar with this. This is getting into a heart-focused breathing. So heart rate variability has been a powerful tool that shows that we can get our body into a coherent state very clearly. So the first step is that if people have a biomodulator and a transducer, I would say go get it and have it plugged in and ready to go. And then I'll grab mine in just a moment here too, because that's going to set the stage. And you got to remember, scalar fields are, they're non-local. It's not the same as a laser where you point and shoot and you see the direction that's going in. It's everywhere. It's like the air around us, right? That we are now funneling in and using in a very specific way. And through group intention, we can actually connect our fields together. Sounds very magical. In many ways it is, but when you talk to people like Dr. Amit Goswami and you look at the quantum physics of how this works, it's fascinating. And this is why group prayer works. This is why group meditations can be from people from all over the place can join together and can create a collective field. Been very well researched. So the first part is the creating the internal coherence, and I'll walk you through a very briefly just how we start to regulate our breathing and get into that field. And then we step into the still point. This is probably the trickiest part for people. And because you're not doing really anything, people are going to think they're messing it up because we're used to have a very specific process. And are we doing it right? Are we doing it wrong? This is a yin approach. There's a bit of a surrender into it. And so without me saying too much, because I want people to have an experience with it, and as you do it more and more, you will experience it deeper and deeper. And so when we talk about stillness, it doesn't mean that you've got to have perfect posture and zero movement. It really means non-interference. Allow yourself to fall into a comfortable position. Let the body rest with ease without trying to over-control or perform, and just let yourself be. Don't force stillness. You invite it in. It's already there. We just have to allow it to fall into it. What generally starts to happen is then there's less attention in the mind field. Okay. You're not trying to stop thinking because you will never be able to completely stop thinking. If thinking hits a cessation, it's going to happen on its own. Okay. What the key is just catch a little bit. If you are getting into patterns of thinking, don't follow the trail down. you know, I often say, oh, I'm just going to kind of watch that. And I often bring my awareness more internally to my body. So don't allow yourself to get carried away with them. And this receptive attention is more of this yin quality. There's an openness and a softness and a listening that goes on. So we're not trying to seek or push or find something or arrive somewhere. You're inviting what already wants to emerge. You're not just going into stillness. You are already surrounded by it. Okay. So that's probably the trickiest part, is for people to do this. And what's funny is when you do an osteopathic still point, what happens in the hands is there's like an agitation often initially. It's almost like the body is trying to find a bit of an escape route to move. You find the same thing with fascial unwinding. When you create into an area where you're trying to hold tension, eventually it falls into a still point. But initially there's agitation. It's almost trying to escape. And I find it's the same thing when we try to sit. You know, Pema Chodron was a Buddhist nun. She used to say, we are always trying to stay one step ahead of this restless energy that we're afraid of. And it's why we're constantly have to do. Dr. Amit Goswami says, you know, we got to follow this principle of do. Do, then be. Do, then be. And the being is the being in stillness and silence, so that we actually get informed on what we're supposed to do. We often do it the other way around. We let the mind inform us. So it's a gentleness and a surrendering. So if it helps, follow some of the guidance that I just mentioned there. And when we get into it, you can even see where your attention naturally falls on. You might fall more in a center area, like around the heart or the spine or the belly, and just sort of bring your awareness to that area. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite everybody to find a comfortable spot. Give me one moment as I just grab my biomodulator and transducer. Give me one moment. If you have a biomodulator or a transducer, hook it up. So what setting I would put on that I think is optimal is if you have the plus, the tenant biomodulator plus, what I would do is I would set that up to your infinity cycle. It's going to have a pulsed frequency. And if you have the pro, Alex, remind me again, which frequency is the name of the one that specifically has the Schumann resonance?
That would be 783 harmonics.
So if you have that one, set it up on 783 harmonics. The Schumann resonance is a natural coherent resonance. You will go into coherence in the Schumann. Part of the problem is that our Schumann resonance is actually being bombarded by a lot of incoherence right now. So setting yourself up to be able to create that through the biomodulator can be really helpful, as well as the infinity cycle. Now you got to remember, when you have a biomodulator, hooked up like this, and the transducer, as soon as that is running, as soon as this gets turned on, it's starting to generate a scalar field, okay, a usable scalar field, and it's informing the scalar field with the frequencies that are connected to the biomodulator. That field is now already going everywhere. That field right at the moment is already starting to fill the room. And anybody else who has one on, it's going to be starting to fill that room. We're creating strong localized scalar fields. When we start to go through this process, you will also be stepping into creating more coherence through our breath and through our focus, and then accessing the information from the stillness to infuse throughout that field. How I would use it is, and you can do it in whichever way you want, because ultimately it's the field is going to be generated either way. If you have a mic stand, you can connect the mic stand up and have it running through the crown chakra, so you're sort of affecting the polarities of everything through your body, all of the different meridians. That would be one way you could use it. Or you could put it where we use it between the legs and affecting the meridians from the bottom up. That's also a nice easy way to do it if you don't have a mic stand. If you have a specific area that is of concern. So for example, if you've been working with liver issues that you're aware of, or heart issues or something along those lines, you can actually have it directed right at that area too. That also would be beneficial. With infinity cycle on the plus, that's how we usually work with the viscera anyways. So what I would do is, if you've got that, set it up right now and connect it up. And just get settled for a moment. Take a couple of breaths in and out. And I'm going to walk you through this process just shortly. And then we're going to sit in silence for just a few minutes. Okay? So everybody, find a comfortable position. Let your body just fall into its groove. And take a deep breath in through the nose. You can do this with your eyes open or closed. Out through the mouth or nose, whichever is more comfortable for you. Take two more nice deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth or nose. Start to bring your awareness to the area surrounding your heart. If it feels comfortable, you can place your hand on the area or just visualize it, but bring your attention and awareness to the heart. Take a couple more deep breaths in and out. This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.